Greetings. Welcome to Tony Broom Ministries, the old-time preaching from God's Holy Word. Here's a sermon entitled, Satisfy Your Thirst with Holy Ghost Water. This message is about the living water that satisfies our thirst. It is so different from our traditions, man-made, which leave us dry, empty, hungry, thirsty, and unsatisfied. David said, as the deer pants after the water brooks, so my soul longs after you. My soul thirsty for you. I long for you in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. It's a good thing to run after God's heart and long for his desires and ways. Thank God, under the new birth and new covenant, we are not left dry and thirsty. Don't blame me if the word topples your tradition or slays your sacred cow. You know what a sacred cow is, don't you? All those man-made religions, man-made traditions, or sacred cows, according to Jesus in Mark chapter 7, keep people in bondage and make the word of God of none effect. John chapter 7 verse 2 says, Now the Jews' feast of tabernacles was at hand. Jesus uses this opportunity to teach the word. In verse 14, Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. So he uses the feast of tabernacles as an opportunity to teach God's word. And the Jews marveled, saying, How knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but he is that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. We think about our doctrine and we talk about it. The Pentecostal doctrine, we believe in salvation, justification by faith in Christ alone. And we believe in sanctification, the second definite work of grace. Baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. We believe in divine healing as providing the atonement. And of course, we believe in the second coming of Jesus Christ, the imminent return, rapture, and then the return of Christ after the tribulation to the earth. We talk about our doctrine and we think about the doctrine that's usually written down. We have it written in a manual, we have it written in a pamphlet or on a sheet of paper, and we say this is our doctrine. But Jesus didn't even call it his doctrine. He said, My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. This is God's doctrine. This is God's word. God's word will satisfy you. Notice that it says that the Jews' Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. Leviticus chapter 23 refers to this as the Feast of Booths. It started on the 15th day of the seventh month, which is like our October, and lasted for 7 days. The people were instructed to take thick boughs and branches of trees and make themselves booths, like a little shelter. Well, they would sit under the shadow of their booth or tabernacle during the 7 days of the feast as a reminder of God's deliverance from Egyptian bondage and of his blessings to Israel. Leviticus 23:42 says, Ye shall dwell in booths 7 days. All that are Israelites born shall dwell in booths. So this is a feast of tabernacles or feast of booths. When Jacob came back from Padan Aram, he came into his father's land and he made him booths. And Sukkot means booths. And that's what he called it because he built a place of booths for his cattle. So those who were Israelite born would dwell in booths during this 7 day feast and they would praise God for his blessings. This clearly indicates that the feast is for Jews only. The church has no requirement or even a right to observe this or any other Old Testament festival. Paul warns against going back to Judaism, about being bound to it or trying to mix it with Christianity. There are churches who actually use the Feast of Tabernacles as an excuse to justify having a carnival. You know what a carnival is, don't you? Carna, the first part of carnival means flesh. Watch out having these carnivals. Carnival means flesh. They not only do it in the church facilities, but many times even setting up booths and games in the holy sanctuary itself. I don't think these were the kind of booths, quote unquote, that the Lord was talking about in the Old Testament feast, do you? Bounce these words around in your head and in your mind. Halloween and hallelujah. Halloween, hallelujah. While it's true that it's a good thing to have an alternative from the world's way of doing things for our youth and young people, might we be copying things or at least basing our ideas off of Devil's Day activities to offer them as fun for our children? We even mix spiritual devotions or shows in with it and call it wholesome activity or entertainment. Of course, everybody likes candy. Candy, good old candy. It doesn't have to be called Halloween candy or trick-or-treat candy. It's just good old candy. Chocolate, Mary Janes, and bubble gum, and jawbreakers, goobers, sweet tarts, baby Ruths, Cracker Jacks, Hershey's. If you happen to be some of our ages, you might even be fortunate enough to get yourself a good old Powerhouse candy bar. Woo! They were so good that they don't even make them anymore. Be sure to trade off your buddies for a nickel sugar daddy, so at least you'll have something that will last a long, long time. The candy didn't ruin our health, just our teeth. Don't you worry, you old toothless mossy back you. You'll never get a single bill from Medicare, for they are supremely convinced that old people don't need teeth. Therefore, they will not pay a cent towards your care of them. And while we're at it, we may as well admit it that dressing up a kid in a costume never really warped their mind or their personality was damaged. It's far more dangerous and damning to them to be reared by a queer or learned from a lesbian. Let us demolish our man-made traditions and kill our sacred cows that are in the church. Christ is our Passover, and everyone can have their own Pentecost. We honor Christ's birth, remember his death, and celebrate his resurrection. That's the only feast we need. When you're born again, every day, even a bad day, is a feast day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul was dealing with a situation which was very serious, a perversion that even one would have his father's wife. And in the midst of this situation, in 1 Corinthians 5, Paul has some of the most beautiful scriptures concerning Passover in verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? If you leave that leaven in there, it will leaven the whole lump. And that's what he's using about sin. If you allow sin to stay in the camp, sin will corrupt the whole thing. Just like one bad apple, as we say, will ruin the whole bucket, the whole basket. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are leavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. We don't have to do the old things that they did in the Old Testament anymore, because Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. He is our sacrifice. He is our Passover. He is our feast. Therefore, let us keep the feast. And some people use that scripture right there and say, see, it says keep the feast. So we set up these booths. We make these games, have the kids coming in church all across the aisles playing games. We set them up. It says keep the feast. Yeah, he says keep the feast, but not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Using this as a platform and launching pad, let us talk about our theme. Yeah, we really do have a theme, remember? Satisfy your thirst with Holy Ghost water. And perhaps you might want to put your shoes on to keep from getting your toes stepped on. We might not be killing sacred cows just yet. In verse 37 of John 7, in the last day, that great day of the feast. Now remember, the feast lasted for 7 days. And in the last day of the feast, when you were to transition from your booth back to your regular home, you would offer this offering of the Lord. And Jesus was there in the last day of the feast. That's why they call it the last day, that great day of the feast. Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. There are three clauses, verb clauses in that. If any man thirst, that's the first one. Let him come unto me, that's the second one. And drink, that's the third one. If you thirst, you're thirsty. you're thirsty, you need to be saved, you need to be born again. He said, let him come unto me and drink. Come unto me and be saved and drink. Well, how do you drink? He that believeth on me, that's how you drink. It's not just turning up a drink and drinking like water. You drink by believing on him, not just one time 40 years ago, but you drink by continually believing on him. He who believes on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Now Christ is glorified, and Pentecost has come, thank God. When a person is born again, the Spirit of God comes into their life. It's like Paul said in Galatians chapter 4, because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. You praise God and worship him. The Spirit of God lives in your heart and you're saved. You have come to Jesus. You are saved. You're born again. When you are sanctified, you have dedicated your life to him and believe on him to cleanse you from all indwelling sin. You are sanctified. When you are baptized in the Holy Ghost, rivers of the Spirit will indeed flow from your inner being. You may not feel it, but whether you feel it or not, he's there, and he moves in and through your life. You never thirst again because you continually drink from the endless supply. You don't have to go through life dry. You don't have to go through life thirsty. You're drinking from the endless supply that never runs dry. You believe on him. You worship him. You drink from that continual supply, and you never thirst again. Jesus told the woman at the well in John chapter 4, whosoever drinks of this water will thirst again. But whosoever drinks of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You never have to go through life thirsty. You never have to go through life hungry, because you have the Word of God. You have the water of God, that well that springs up into everlasting life. In the Beatitudes, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You say, well, it says right there, I have to hunger and I have to thirst after righteousness. Yes, you do, but you don't continually hunger. You don't have to continually thirst. You don't have to go through your life continuing to be hungry, continuing to be thirst, because you said, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. When you get born again, your hunger and thirst for righteousness is over. You are filled, continually filled. Filled with what? Righteousness. Whose righteousness? His righteousness. We think about some of the things we do, some of the songs that we sing. Some of our songs are actually vain. Oh God, I'm hungry. God, I'm so thirsty. Well, if we're so hungry and we're so thirsty and unsatisfied, we may be knowingly or unknowingly saying to the world and even to sinners around us in the church that we ourselves are not born again. It's a shock, I know, but true. That is another sacred cow. We want more. More of you, O God, more. Can we really have more of God? Since you are the temples of the Holy Ghost, he is already dwelling within your being. You cannot make yourself any bigger, so you couldn't stand any more of God anyway. Well, I just want more of God, you persistently say. Okay, wait until you're glorified, then you can handle it. But I just want God to come and show up. So many of our prayers, just show up. Come, Lord, show up. You have him in you. All of you who are believers do. Everywhere you go, wherever you go, God goes with you, for he is in you. You take him with you wherever you go. Maybe we should take care as to where we go when we think about him being in us all the time. Sure, God can manifest himself in various ways when he chooses to, when we are by ourselves or in the congregation. But so much of our worship, begging God to come and show up, is nothing more than the religious rituals of the Jezebel prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel, who chanted and shouted and jumped and cut themselves till the blood gushed out upon them. Hopefully we haven't gotten to that point yet. But our wailing and screeching and begging God to do something for us, many times He has already promised and already provided for us. It's nothing more than sacred cow which should be butchered. This sacred cow has to go. Yes, our songs, though beautiful, are sometimes so unscriptural. And you can't call me a hypocrite now, because some of these songs are pretty, and I play them. I play them for myself. I play them for other people to sing. And sometimes when you write a song, you don't really care whether it's scriptural or not. You're not trying to go with the doctrine. You're just writing a song. Ba-ba-ba-ba-da-boo. You know, there's all kind of songs. Roger Miller, and he never claimed to be a Christian, I don't think, but he had some songs that just bebop songs, or just doo-wop songs. Just good old country boy songs, whittling on a piece of wood with a knife. So there's all kind of reasons to write songs. But some of our songs, and we should take care as to what we sing, because it's so unscriptural. And I'm lost without you. Are we saying, I'm lost without you? If I didn't have you, I would be lost without you. I hope that's what we're saying. But if we're saying, oh God, I'm lost without you. Oh yeah, think of it. We're telling God, the devil, and the whole world that we are lost without Jesus and therefore need to be born again. And I'm desperate for you. We are admitting that we're not complete in our spiritual relationship yet, and our thirst remains unsatisfied. Our emotions and tears are part of who we are. That's okay. But it doesn't twist God's arm into doing something for us. It doesn't sweet talk Him into doing something that we'd like for Him to do. He is your Heavenly Father. He loves you. It is His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus said so. And what about this one? Another sacred cow, I mean. The special guy. Oh, he's a special guy. You got to get him to pray with you. You got to get him to pray for you. You got to go hear him preach. He's a special guy, the anointed one, the one with the anointing. It's called preacheritis, preacher religion. Those who follow singers all around the country are called diesel sniffers. Those who trace behind a preacher, a certain preacher, wherever he goes, are called reb chasers. The last part of Galatians chapter 3, verse 29 says, "For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. There are no big I's or little U's. All of you are saved. All of you are anointed. All of you love God. If you are born again, you are anointed. While there may be different positions and ministries in the church, Jesus said that all of you are brethren. You all brothers and sisters. All of you are appointed. Therefore, all of you are anointed." Just one more cow, since your freezer is about full of bull, I know. And that is begging God over and over to heal you or a loved one. Healing is provided for us in the atonement. It is yours. It belongs to you. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Matthew 7:7. Pray. Pray in faith. Pray till the answer comes. There's nothing wrong with that. There is a difference between asking and even travailing in birth pangs of prayer and in vain repetitions. Jesus said the heathen do that, and they think that they will be heard for their much speaking. Again, there's what is called New Age. This is New Age, but really it's the old Baal worship. Meet God's condition, which is usually just believing. Jesus said, "Believe only, and she shall be made whole." Pray. Pray about it, and leave the results up to God. When you meet together, there are times for stillness and occasions of reverence. But morgues are the place where it's usually dead and quiet, not churches. Let our praise and worship be a time of excitement for who He is and what He has done. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, you heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. From Revelation 22:17, "And let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Satisfy your thirst with Holy Ghost water. Heavenly Father, take this word and seal it to our hearts. Help us to be better servants, sons and daughters of God as a result of it. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for listening to The Old Time Preaching from God's Word. The title has been Satisfy Your Thirst with Holy Ghost Water. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broome Ministries.